It's so good to see everyone that is here. After 4 weeks of, or 2 weeks of live and then 2 weeks of just doing it on our own, just a couple people that was here was not disappointing, but just not normal. It was not normal at all. But praise Yah for tonight and giving us this opportunity to come here and get in our Torah teachings. And we're on Torah teaching number 25. And our Torah teachings are understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. And it's so important for us to grab hold of that, because we want to please him for what he's done and what he continued to do in our lives. And in order to know his likes and his dislikes, you have to do the Torah. You have to keep Torah. That's the only way you're going to understand what he likes and what he dislikes. So here we are in Torah portion number 25 in his Zav, in his Hebrew for command. And the Torah is Leviticus 6, verse 8 through chapter 8, verse 36. And the half Torah is Jeremiah 7, 21 through 28. In Jeremiah 9, 22 through 23. And the Zav is Hebrew for command. The portion teaches how the priests perform the sacrifices and describes the ordination of Aharon and his sons. God instructs Moses to command Aaron and his sons regarding their duties and rights to the Kohanim priests who offer the Korban, animal and meal offerings in the sanctuary. The fire on the altar must be kept burning at all times. In it are burned the holy consumed ascending offering, veins of fat from the peace, sin and guilt offerings, and the handful that separated from the meal offering. The Kohanim eat the meat of the sin and guilt offerings and the remainder of the meal offering. The peace offering is eaten by the one who brought it, except for the specified portions given to the Kohanim, the Kohen. The holy meat of the offerings must be eaten by ritually pure persons in their designated holy place and within their specified time. Aharon and his sons remain within the sanctuary compound for 7 days, during which Moses initiates them into the priesthood. And in the parties, you see what the Zadik is: give the righteous man's connection. In the Pasat, the plain meaning is giving instruction on priest offerings. And you see God's character, the great giver of all good gifts. And that last week's Torah, you seen it was about what we had to bring, the offerings we had to give. And this week is the offerings that the priest has to give and bring. And what he's trying to show us is he's trying to get us, because that was what a character that Yah have, a selfless giver. He's a selfless giver. That's what he wants us to understand. That's what he wants us to get that character he has, to be a selfless giver. Because listen, you got to be a selfless giver to give your only son. To give your only son. Think about that. Not just for the believers, but for the whole world. Knew that they was going to reject him. But he still gave it to him. So what a character to have, to be a selfless giver. And the Remez, the hidden glimpse of Messiah. The offerings are revealed, different aspects of Messiah, God's greatest gift. And the application for us today is our example of selfless giving. In the Drash, the symbolism is the small mem in word for continual burning. In large word in Leviticus 8:15, the middle verse of Torah. In the half Torah is Jeremiah 7, 21 through 8:3. The priests and the offerings. Leviticus 6:8. And Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, command, in verse 9, command Zav, Aharon and his son, saying, this is the Torah of the ascending offering. This is the ascending offering because it is burned on the slaughter place all night until morning. And the fire of the slaughter place is kept burning on it. And the priest, verse 10, and the priest shall put on his linen garment and put his linen trousers on his body and shall take up the ashes of the ascending offering which the fire has consumed on the slaughter place and shall put them beside the slaughter place. And he shall take off his garments. He's taken off these holy garments and put on the outer garments and shall bring the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the slaughter place is kept burning on it. It is not put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and arrange the ascending offering on it and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. Every morning they had to do this. And look, notice he had to arrange it. They had to go out there and set it in order, just like Yah had to tell him to do it. Because remember, he's everything Yah does is in order. Everything works in order with him. Verse 13, fire is continually kept burning on the slaughter place. It is not put out. Verse 14, and this is the Torah of the grain offering. The sons of Aharon shall bring it near before Yah in front of the slaughter place. The Mikkah is the grain offering, represents us as Hashem's harvest. The fragrant with frankincense and bound together by olive oil, representing the spirit of Hashem. Hashem's offering, harvest. That's what the grain offering represents. Leviticus 6:15, and shall take from it with his hand from the fine flour of the grain offering and from its oil and all the frankincense which is on the grain offering and shall burn it on the slaughter place for a sweet fragrance as its remembrance portion to Yah. What it is, it's a remembrance portion to him. That's just what our feast days that we partake in. What he tells us, he says, do this for a remembrance. It's not for the Jews. It's not for nobody else but for him. It's a remembrance for him, to him. Verse 16, then Aharon and his sons eat the rest of it. It is eaten with unleavened bread in the set-apart place. They eat it in the courtyard of the tent of appointment. It is not baked with leaven. I have given it to them as their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is the most set apart, like the sin offering and the guilt offering. And we talked about all those offerings last week. There was five, and then there's a sixth one, which we'll get to tomorrow in chapter 8. Verse 18, all the males among the children of Aharon eat it. A law for how long? Forever in your generations concerning the offerings made by fire to Yah. Why are we learning this? Is it, they say Torah is done away with. But when he returns and there's going to be the new tabernacle and all this is going to be reinstituted. And look, this is the priest offerings. What he calls us. He says you're going to be kings and priests. So how awesome it is to have a jump start on this, to know this before we get to that place where we're gonna be at. It says, a law forever in your generations concerning the offerings made by fire to Yah. All that touches them is to be set apart. And Yah spoke to Moshe saying, verse 19, and Yah spoke to Moshe saying, this is the offering of Aharon and his sons, which they bring near to Yah, beginning on the day when he is anointed, 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a daily grain offering, half of it in the morning and half of it in the evening. So all these offerings, the grain offering, the sin offering, the priest they're not excluded from it. They have to do it too. They have to do it also. Just like he commanded the people to do it, he's commanding them to do it. Verse 21, it is made on a griddle with oil. Bring it and mixed. Bring the baked portions of the grain offering near, a sweet fragrance to Yah. And the anointed priest from among his sons, who is in his place, prepare it, a law forever to Yah. All of it has to be burned. And every grain offering for the priest is completely burned. It is not eaten. And Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to Aharon and to his sons, saying, this is the Torah of the sin offering. In the place where the ascending offering is slain, the sin offering is slain before Yah. It is most set apart. The chetot, the sin offering, represents Messiah Yeshua. In Hebrews 10, 1 through 10, for the Torah, having a shadow of the good matters to come, and not the image itself of the matters, was never able to make perfect those who draw near with the same slaughter offerings which they offer continually year by year, was never able to make perfect the sin offering. All these offerings is pointed to Yeshua, every last one of them. It says, verse 2, otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? If the very first offering would have been perfect and wiped away sin, there wouldn't have been hundreds or thousands of offerings after that. There was thousands of animals slain, thousands. But he says, otherwise would they have not ceased to be offered? Because those who served, once cleansed, would have had no more conscience of sin. Verse 3, but in those offerings is a reminder of sins year by year. That's what Yah wants to do for us in that verse 2. Because look, when you got a conscience of sin, you're steady thinking about it, you want to revert back to it. You ever said, man, I did it again. I did it again. The same thing over. I can't believe I did it again. But what Yah wants to do, he wants to deliver us from even the conscience of sins. Verse 3, but in those offerings is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for blood of goats, for blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That's why we needed a Savior. It was impossible. They couldn't take it away. All they can do was cover it. See how this is all pointing to Yeshua? The shadow of things to come. Verse 1, started off with it from the straight off the back. Verse 5, therefore, coming into the world, he says, slaughtering and meal offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In ascending offerings and offerings for sin, you did not delight. Then I said, see, I come. In the roll of the book, it has been written concerning me to do your desire, O Elohim. When's the last time we told him that we want to do his desire? I want to do your desire. Because look, his desire is far different from what we thinking in our mind, or what, you know, the plan that we want to go, or the route we want to take. His desire is totally different. It'll blow your mind. It'll blow our mind. He blew minds with this desire. I knew I wanted to preach, but I didn't know I wanted to pastor. It's a totally different level. Totally different. It's totally different scale. Hebrews 10:8, saying above, slaughter and meal offering and ascending offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire nor delight in, which are offered according to the Torah. Then he said, see, I come to do your desire, O Elohim. He takes away the first to establish the second. Took away the first, all those sacrifices, to establish the second. But that desire, verse 10, we have been set apart through the offering of the body of Yeshua Messiah once and for all. Hallelujah. Once and for all, through his body. Verse 26, Leviticus 6, the priest who is making atonement eats it. In the set-apart place, it is eaten. In the courtyard of the tent of appointment, all that touches its flesh is to be set apart. And when his blood is sprinkled on any garment, you wash that on which it was sprinkled in a set-apart place. But the earthen vessel in which it is cooked is to be broken. And if it is cooked in a bronze pot, then it is scored, and rinsed in water. Every male among the priests eats it. It is the most set apart. Verse 30. And no sin offering from which any of the blood is brought into the tent of appointment to make atonement in the set apart place is eaten. It is burned with fire. Chapter 7, verse 1. And this is the Torah of the guilt offering. It is most set apart. The guilt offering is slain in the place where they slay the ascending offering, and his blood is sprinkled on a slaughter place all around. The Ma'al, guilt offering represents our need to make things right with others. It shows how even an unkind word or false testimony is linked to debt, as of an assassination. Think about that. The guilt offering represents our need to make things right with others. Matthew 5:21, the words of Yeshua. You heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that whoever is wroth with his brother without a cause shall be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. But whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Wow. I think Yeshua took this a whole step higher than what the, because he said, what you have heard. But he said, if you even think it. If then you bring your gift to the slaughter place, and there remember that your brother holds whatever against you, what he says to do, leave your gift there before the slaughter place and go. First make peace with your brother and then come and offer your gift. Why? Because what? Why go and make peace? Why go make it right? Because you think that your offer would have did any good? It wouldn't have did no good at all. Y'all would have never accepted. Never. Just like he did with Cain and Abel. Did he accept Cain's offering? Nope. Did he have a chance to go make it right? Yep. He had a chance, but he didn't. And that's what he's telling us here. I'm give you a chance. Leave that offering right there and go make it right. Then come back and give your gift. Chapter 7, verse 3. Then he brings from it all its fat, the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them by the loins, and the appendage on the liver, which he removes with the kidneys. And the priest shall burn them on a slaughter place. It is an offering made by fire to Yah. It is a guilt offering. Every male among the priests eats it. It is eaten in the set-apart place. It is most set apart. The guilt offering is like the sin offering. There is one Torah for them both. The priest who makes atonement with it, it is his. And the priest who brings anyone's ascending offering, the skin of the ascending offering, which he has brought, is the priest. It is his. How many Torahs? He says there's only one Torah. One Torah for both of them. And every grain offering, verse 9, that is baked in the oven, and all that is prepared in the stewing pot or on a griddle, is the priest who brings it. It is his. And every grain offering mixed with oil or dry is for all the sons of Aharon, for all alike. And this is the Torah of the slaughtering of the peace offering, which is brought to Yah. The Shemayim peace offering represents the transference from no peace to perfect peace in Elohim's atonement for our sins through the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For a child is born unto us, a son is given unto us, and the ruler is on his shoulder, and his name is called Wonder, Counselor, Strong El, Father of Continuity. Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his rule and peace there is no end. Upon the throne of David, and over his reign, to establish it and sustain it with right rulings and with righteousness, from now on, even forever, the door of Yahweh does this. Only for the Prince of Peace. Verse 12, if he brings it for a thanksgiving, then he shall bring with the slaughtering of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened thin cakes anointed with oil, or cakes of finely blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes, he brings as his offering leavened bread together with the slaughtering of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And from it he shall bring one cake from each offering as a contribution. I remember what contribution was. We thought that it was a Torah, Terumah, your contribution to Yah. To the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering, it is his. The peace offering made for thanksgiving was to be presented with an offering of unleavened cakes of wafers and leavened bread. These two were presented as a wave offering and may be considered a prophetic announcement of Elohim bringing Jew and Gentile together in the peace of Yeshua the Messiah. Ephesians 2, 11 through 18. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you once nation in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel. Without that time, we was what? Excluded. If it wasn't for the Messiah, we was doomed. There was no hope for us. He had to have come as the peace offering. Everything is pointing to him. Everything pointing to him, and he's pointing to Yeshua, to Yah. That at the time you were without Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no expectation, and without Elohim in the world. Wow, you think that sacrifice lamb was important? You think he had to come? Look, those other sacrifices could not do this because we were still excluded from the citizenship. We were still strangers to the covenant. We still had no expectation. But now, I love those but now verses. In Messiah Yeshua, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah. For he is our peace, who has made both one and having broken down the partition of the barrier. He is our peace. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the Torah of the commands and dogma, so as to create in himself one renewed man from the two, thus making peace, and to completely restore to favor both of them unto Elohim in one body through the stake, having destroyed the enmity by it. And having come, verse 17, he brought as good news peace to you who were far off and peace to those near, because through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Through him we have access to the Father. Not many ways, one way, through him, through that door, and one Spirit. Leviticus 7, verse 15. As for the flesh of the slaughtering of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, it is eaten the same day it is offered. He does not leave any of it until morning. And if the slaughtering he brings in a vow or a voluntary offering, it is eaten the same day that he brings his slaughtering, and what is left of it, it is eaten the next day. But whatever is left of the flesh of the slaughtering on the third day is burned with fire. However, verse 18, if any of the flesh of the slaughtering of his peace offering is eaten at all on the third day, it is not accepted. It is not reckoned to him who brings it. It is unclean to him, and the being who eats of it bears his crookedness. And there's a significance behind this third day, because what the third day represents, the third day, the third millennium, the new millennium. And what he's saying, we can't hold on to sin. If we're still holding on to sin, it is not accepted in his kingdom. Hosea 6:2, and Hosea, this is the prophet, and he's prophesying way ahead of time. He's talking about Yeshua. After 2 days, he shall revive us. On the third day, he shall raise us up so that we live before him. In verse 3, let us pursue to know Yah. And how do we pursue to know Yah? How we know him? His Torah, Yah's likes and his dislikes. That's how you pursue to know Yah. We have to keep the Torah. His going forth is as certain as the morning, and he comes to us like the rain, like the latter rain watering the earth. Verse 19, and the flesh that touches what is unclean is not eaten. It is burned with fire. And as for the clean flesh, all who are clean eat of it. But the being who eats the flesh of the slaughtering of peace offering that belongs to Yah, while he is clean, that being shall be cut off from his people. And when a being who touches that which is unclean of the uncleanness of man, or of the uncleanness of beasts, or of any unclean abomination, and shall eat the flesh of the slaughtering of peace offering that belongs to Yah, that being shall be cut off from his people. Verse 22, and Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, do not eat any fat or bull or sheep or goat. And the fat of, let me stop for a second, because I left y'all hanging last week with this, don't eat the fat. I told Brother Scott, you know, that I didn't have a problem because I didn't eat the fat. Well, anyway, he's talking about the fat that is in the slaughtering offers to him. And I also lied, too, because I said I don't eat fat, because listen, there's little fat particles throughout the whole meat. So he's not talking about don't eat fat, because there's meat is full of fat. We just don't know it because we just see meat. But he wasn't talking about don't eat fat, period. He's talking about don't eat the fat of what the offering that is being sacrificed to me. That belongs to me. You don't eat that. That's the difference. So I just wanted to clear that up because I left y'all hanging. And I also told a fib while I was up here, so I asked y'all to forgive me for that. Because there's fat in all that. All right? I thank y'all for forgiving me. You got to anyway. It says it in the scripture. Amen? All right, in verse 24, and the fat of a dead body and the fat of what is torn is used for any purpose, but you do not eat it at all. For whoever eats the fat of the beast of which men bring as an offering made by fire to Yah, that's the fat you don't eat. Even the being who eats it shall be cut off from his people. You see how detailed, very detailed Yah is? You can't come to him any kind of way. We can't come to him like we want to come to him. We have to come to him like his word is describing us to come to him. I don't have my Bible. I forgot. Oh, it's right there. But that right there, that's the instructions. This is his instructions right here that we got to follow. This is what we need to follow. Right here. Not somebody else's book. Follow his. That's the only way we're going to make it is following his book, his laws, his Torah. Because that's what the Torah is, instructions. His Torah is his instructions. Verse 26, And do not eat any blood in any of your dwellings. And look, what he says, if you keep denying the Torah, what he calls it? He calls it sin. It's sin. In any of your dwellings, of bird or of beast, any being who eats any blood, even that being shall be cut off from his people. Verse 28, and Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who brings his slaughtering of peace offering to Yah brings his offering to Yah from the slaughtering of his peace offering. With his own hands he brings the offerings made by fire to Yah. He brings the fat with the breast to be waved as a wave offering before Yah. And the priest shall burn the fat on the slaughter place, but the breast shall be Aharon and his sons. And the right thigh you give to the priest as a contribution, as a terumah, from the slaughtering of your peace offering. He among the sons of Aharon who brings the blood of the peace offering and the fat, the right thigh is his for a portion. Verse 34, for the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the contribution I have taken from the children of Israel, from the slaughterings of their peace offering, and I give them to Aharon the priest and to his sons as a law forever from the children of Israel. This is the anointed portion for Aharon and the anointed portion for his sons from the offerings made by fire to Yah on the day when Moshe presented them to serve as priests to Yah, which Yah commanded to be given to them by the children of Israel on the day that he anointed them, a law forever throughout their generations. Verse 37, this is the Torah of the ascending offering, of the grain offering, of the sin offering, and of the guilt offering, and of the ordinations, and of the slaughtering of peace offerings, which Yah commanded Moshe on Mount Sinai on the day when he commanded the children of Israel to bring their offerings to Yah in the wilderness of Sinai. Chapter 8, I'm just going to give you a little piece of it because chapter 8 is long. Because chapter 8 is broken down like we went and redo chapter 2. So this is long. So I'm just touch a little bit on it right quick. Chapter 8 is the ordination of Aharon and his sons. After all the regulations for the offerings were given, Yah had Moshe bring Aharon and his sons along with the anointing oil, the bull for the burnt offering, the two rams in a basket containing bread made without yeast. He also asked him to assemble all the congregation at the door to the tent of appointment. There Moshe washed and dressed Aharon in his high priest garments and Aharon's sons in their linen robes. Notice, could they just come into the tent like they wanted to? No. What it says, there Moshe washed and dressed Aharon in his high priest garments as Aharon's sons and sons in their linen robes. And Yah asked him to do this, told him to do this. The required bull was offered for the sin of dishonor, chattis. And when the blood had set apart the slaughter place and made atonement for it, they took the bull with its hide, flesh and offal, and burned it outside the camp. Moshe first washed Aharon and his sons and then clothed them. This is a wonderful picture of how Yeshua Messiah, the living Torah, washes us when he sets us apart for service unto him as a chosen royal priesthood, and how he clothes us with his garments of righteousness. The same way, what a picture. What a picture of what Messiah is doing for us continually, what he does for us. Look, him as a chosen royal priesthood. That's going to be established right back in the new millennium. All of the instructions had been given. The dwelling place was set apart, and now the priesthood was set apart and ordained fit for service. Overview of the priestly garments, and that's where I'm going to stop at. I'll stop right here. Yeah. Because it gets deep into it once we pass this. But it's good. I love how this is broken down. And you get so much more detail. You can get so much more insight of what the scripture is saying. When the way you get the pictograph of it and everything. It's just, I love it. I absolutely love it. And it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot to talk about. So we'll stop right here. A couple of announcements right quick. We have the Passover sign up in the back to get a head count. That's to get a head count to see who all's going to be here, so we can see what all we have to buy and prepare. And what was that other one? Yes, and also you bring your own unleavened bread, cooked unleavened bread, for your family, just enough for your family to have. So that's the only thing that I think that y'all might have to bring is just your own unleavened bread for however much you want to eat. You know, if you want to eat a lot, bring a lot. It don't matter. But we're supposed to eat a lot for this. We're supposed to eat till you're full. But bring your own unleavened bread, and also don't forget the sign-up sheet in the back. So I just want to thank y'all for coming out tonight. I'm so happy just for the handful that's here. It's way more than what we had the last couple of weeks. And I'm just thankful. I'm excited. And I'm definitely excited about tomorrow. So Shabbat Shalom, and we will see y'all in the morning.